wonderful to be with you this morning, and great to see the church so full. If you're a visitor with us today, we want to say a very special welcome. If you're maybe staying with family, friends, you're not from the local area, it's wonderful to have you. If you are from the local area and you're looking for a church to attend, we'd love to have you come and join with us more regularly here at City North. We won't be having morning tea as we normally do after church today. I'm sure you've got plenty more important things to be doing today as families. But I just want to pray that God will bless you richly as you worship him today. If you want to stay behind and chat, that's fine as well too. But if you have to dash off, we understand completely. I want to bring a reading this morning from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Very familiar words, I am sure, but just listen as I read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's so wonderful on a day like today to be able to celebrate the coming of your Son Jesus into our world. And Father, we just pray that today, that as we look again at this grand old story, that we might see with fresh eyes the reality of who Jesus is. And Lord, that there might be something within our own hearts today which will bow down and worship him like the wise men did. Father, minister this word to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I happened to be at Chermside after midnight on Wednesday night. It wasn't much after midnight, but it was quite an amazing experience just to see how many people there were. And the queues lined up at the checkouts here were unbelievable. I've been to Chermside when it's been busy, but this was 12:30 in the morning, and it was just as busy then as some of the busiest times that I've ever experienced when I've been there to Chermside. Well, I guess that's one side of Christmas. We understand that. We expect that every year. But there is another side to Christmas. And this is why I'm so encouraged to see so many of you out here worshipping in this way today, because I think we need to appreciate the spiritual side of Christmas. And the story of the wise men is an absolutely amazing story. But through this story, I think we learn something about what Christmas really is. And so this morning, as we look at these verses quickly, I hope that we will maybe with fresh eyes start to understand Christmas the way it really is meant to be understood and celebrated. There are a number of carols that we sing, and we just sang one a moment ago about the wise men coming and worshipping Jesus. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel us afar, and so on. But there's also a lot of mythology surrounding the story of the wise men. And this morning I don't want us to do a lot of speculating. I just want us to stick to the facts and see what this story is. The fact of the matter is, these men came from the east. Now, we don't know exactly what the east is, but it was probably, most probably, Persia. All right, so these magi or wise men probably came from the region of Persia. We know that they were astrologers / astronomers. They understood the stars. They knew how to interpret the signs of the stars. And it may well be that they had noticed a new configuration of the stars in the night sky around about the time when Jesus was born. It's interesting that that they brought with them gifts that they wanted to present to this king that they were so certain the star represented, the king of the Jews. And the gifts they brought were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold representing royalty, frankincense probably representing the incense that the priests would use when they offered special sacrifices, and myrrh, which was used to embalm the dead. Nowhere in the Bible are we told that there were three magi. We're just told that men from the east were part of this this troop of guys who came searching. But there are a number of things that we need to understand clearly from the story of these wise men from the east. The first that we really need to notice is that they were very seriously searching for this king that had been born. You've got to be impressed with the relentlessness and the persistence that they showed in seeking to find this king. Firstly, we need to understand that they were foreigners and that they came from probably hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometres to the east of Jerusalem. They were willing to take all sorts of risks in order to pursue this search. There were cultural barriers, there were language barriers, there were religious barriers. They were able to push through all of those in this relentless pursuit that they had to try and find this king. As far as we know, they didn't have access to the Jewish Old Testament scriptures. Some scholars think that maybe because of the Jewish exile in Babylon, some 500 or 600 years earlier, that there may have been some of the Jewish scriptures that were left behind there, that they may have had access to those, but that's a little bit of speculation. We don't want to do too much of that this morning. The fact of the matter is that they were desperate to find this king. And when they found him, they were desperate to be able to present him with the gifts that they had brought. That's how certain they were that they were going to find him. Obviously, the Holy Spirit was at work in this whole process of leading them and guiding them. It's not all that uncommon these days to find people who are seriously searching. They're searching for hope. They're searching for peace. They're searching for meaning in life. They're searching to the answers. They're searching for the answers to the big questions of life. Some are specifically searching for God. For some people, that search ends in things like Eastern mysticism, or drugs, or occult experiences. These are dead ends, but they're searching. And this is the direction in which they find themselves pursuing. I know a guy who is a Buddhist. And his search began quite a number of years ago. And as a result of this search, he goes across to a Buddhist monastery in Thailand every year or so and stays for several months. That's where his search has led him. He leaves his wife behind, she's not a Buddhist, in order to pursue this journey of self-discovery that he is on. Other people I know are into philosophy and world religions, and they pursue their search in these directions. I was talking to a man recently who was telling me that when he was a uni student, he began his search for something. He was dissatisfied with life the way that it was. He needed answers to the questions. And one day, he's not even sure exactly why, he remembered that in a bottom drawer in his bedroom desk, he had a Gideon's Bible that had been given to him when he was in grade 8 at school. And he pulled out this Bible and he started reading, and he read and he read and he read. And he became a Christian. And today, he's a history lecturer at a Bible college. I fully appreciate the fact that many of us have very busy lives, and most of the time we just get swept along by the current of life. But there may be times, in those quieter moments, when the questions of life begin to trouble you. Who am I? Why am I here? Why are there so many crazy things that are happening in this world? Is there anybody who's in control? And if that's you today, can I encourage you to become a searcher and to search and to keep on searching? Learn from the example of the wise men. Don't be satisfied until you've found what you're looking for. Typical postmodern thinking these days says that there are no ultimate answers to the big questions of life. Life is just simply a journey. It doesn't have a destination. You've just got to enjoy the journey while you're on it, because it doesn't lead anywhere. That's sad. But that's typical of the way that postmodern people today think about life. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In the book of Jeremiah 29, it says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord." God is not playing hard to find, but we need to be genuinely seeking and searching. And God assures us in his word there that if we do that, that we will find him and that we will be satisfied by him. That's the first thing we need to notice about these wise men. They were really relentless in their search for this baby. The second thing that we notice about them was that they implicitly believed the word of God. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they did what visiting dignitaries normally do. They dropped in on the king of the nation there just to let them know what they were doing. I mean, these wise men who had come from the east, they were not nobodies. They were significant men in their own right. And so when they got to Jerusalem, they got directions to the palace and they introduced themselves to Herod. And Herod said, "What are you doing here?" And they said to Herod, "We've come to find the king who has been born." Well, Herod wasn't all that impressed with that bit of information, because he didn't know of any king who had been born. Certainly wasn't somebody from the palace there in Jerusalem. And when they asked him where this king was, he wasn't any use to them. He didn't know. And so what he did is he called in the chief priests and the teachers of the Jewish law, the people today we would call the Bible scholars. And you know what? Those scholars were able to tell immediately where this king, the Messiah, was to be born. And they immediately quoted Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which says this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And these scholars were able to tell those wise men from the east, go to Bethlehem, that's where you'll find him. I mean, Herod was very unsettled by that himself. But that was no problem for the wise men. They believed the word that was written in the Old Testament scriptures, and they went to Bethlehem straight away. They didn't question the word, they simply believed it. It's interesting that the religious scholars didn't go to Bethlehem and search. They just closed up their Old Testament scriptures and left it at that and got on with life. They knew all the facts. They had all the information. They had the knowledge about the Messiah, but their knowledge wasn't translated into a belief. The wise men were the ones who believed God's word, and it opened up a whole new area of discovery for them as they were searching for this king. You know, you can be a religious person. You can know all the facts about the Christian faith. You can even know the details about the life and the times of Jesus Christ from a historical perspective. But what do you do with those facts? Do you believe them? Do you follow them? Do you obey them? The people of Jesus' day, who were supposedly the religious ones, they just ignored the message. They ignored Jesus. They ignored their own scriptures. Christmas for them was a non-event. It's very sad, really, when you think about it. But how different it was for those men from the east. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. Maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not. But can I urge you all to take God's word very seriously? Trust God's word. Believe it. Let the word of God lead you to Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of God, the one who is the Saviour, the Lord, the King, that is presented to us in the Holy Scriptures. Look, if you're wanting to check these details out and you don't have a Bible, please come and see me afterwards. I'm very glad to give you one. It's very important that we take seriously the Word of God. So that's the second thing that we notice about these wise men, that they implicitly believed the Old Testament Scriptures, the word of God. But there's one more part of this journey of the wise men that I think that we need to take note of here. Because when they went to Bethlehem and they found the place, they worshipped Jesus. Look at verses 9 to 12. "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh." By the time that these wise men had found the place where Jesus and Mary were staying with their baby, Jesus was probably a matter of weeks, if not months old. It was obviously some time after the birth. But one thing we need to understand was that this baby who was born king wasn't in a palace. That didn't seem to bother the wise men. It was probably a very humble little house there in Bethlehem. But the important thing was that these wise men who had been on this journey, probably for months and months and months, over hundreds and hundreds of kilometres, had found what they were looking for. They found the king. And when they saw him, they had no questions in their mind about who he was. What did they do when they got there? They bowed down before him. These great men from the east, they bowed down before this baby and they presented him with their gifts. I mean, the question has sometimes gone through my mind, how could they have been so sure that Jesus was this king that they were looking for? And we're not actually told there, but there's no suggestion in the story that they had any doubts or second thoughts at all. The star stopped over the house where Jesus and his family were living. They recognized him for who he was and they bowed down and they worshipped him and presented him with their gifts. You know, when they found Jesus, the only appropriate response they could make was to drop to their knees. You see, that's what happens when you recognize the Messiah, the King. Maybe in a way that they didn't realize at the time, those gifts that they gave to Jesus were representative of the kind of life that he was going to live. Yes, he was going to be the king, but he was also going to die. And through his death, he was going to become the great high priest that stood between man and God. The one who would offer up his own life as the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of people. What does Christmas mean to you, friends? Is it just about parties and celebrations and good times with the family? Is it just about presents and holidays and all the other superficial trappings that go with Christmas? Or is it a time when you recognize who Jesus really is and worship him? The Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world to offer hope to a confused and a sad and a broken world. And you know what? Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. The world is still just as messed up today as what it was back then. But that's the world into which Jesus came. And it's the world to which Jesus himself speaks today. And Christmas is all about Jesus. His name actually means Saviour. He saves. And he wants to give people today salvation from their brokenness and from their sinfulness. And the wise men, in an extraordinary way, came to understand who Jesus really is. I wonder today, as we celebrate Christmas and we think about this incredible story here, whether maybe it is a bit of a rebuke to the way that we are living our lives. I mean, what are we worshipping today? Are we worshipping our possessions? Are we worshipping our careers? Are we worshipping maybe our family or some person in our lives? There are some people who probably worship themselves. But if you're wise, there's only one person whom you should be truly worshipping, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one who is truly worthy of our worship. After all their searching, these faithful, persistent doggedly persistent men eventually made the greatest discovery of their lives when they found Jesus and bowed before him and worshipped him. Have you found Jesus? Really, have you found Jesus? Because he's the one who is the ultimate answer to every question that we have in our lives. He's the one who is ultimately the one who can meet the deepest needs of our lives. And when you find Jesus, you know. You don't question it, you don't doubt it. All you do is you worship. And notice what the wise men did, as well as falling before him in worshiping, they gave him gifts. And as we bow ourselves before Jesus, there is one gift more than any other that he wants from us, and it is ourselves. He wants our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to present your bodies, present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. That's what he wants. He wants us. He wants us to give him ourselves. And what better gift to be able to give on Christmas Day than the gift of yourself to God? Lord, take me. Take my life, all of me. Take my, well, if necessary, my material wealth. Take my career, take my marriage or my future marriage, take my family, take my whole life. Take me, Lord. I give myself to you. If you've never done that before, why don't you do it today? Give yourself to Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm on a search. I'm on a journey. And I need to give myself to you today, because you are the only one who can ultimately satisfy the deepest needs and longings and questions of my life. Take me, Lord. If you are a Christian today, can I encourage you to give yourself afresh to Jesus? Lord, Christmas Day 2015, I give myself once again to you. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. May my life be holy and acceptable to you. That's the message of Christmas, friends. It's a great message. It's a message of hope. Give yourself to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the fact that you were willing to give yourself and give your own son to us at that first Christmas. You sent him into this world on a mission to save people like us from our sins, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us joy. We've been singing about that this morning. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for those wise men who were prepared to search and to keep on searching and to believe and ultimately to worship. Because, Lord, you were worship, you were worthy of their worship back then. And, Lord, you are worthy of our worship today. Lord, as we celebrate today and enjoy all the blessings that come with the Christmas season, may the greatest reason for our celebration and joy be that we have come to know you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and bless us through this message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.